town with their family for family events. And Bab said to me, let's do something special for Christmas Eve. Let's have a fellowship. And then both of us said together, but we need somebody to share their testimony. I said, I've got the perfect person. Liesl, I want Liesl to share her testimony. And Bab said, that's exactly who I was thinking. And then I called Liesl, and would you believe she said, Sam just mentioned that to me at Sunday school, that he wanted me to share my testimony. Oh, thank you, Brother Greg. Let there be. And I think now is the time, Liesl, for you to come and share. Liesl and I worked on her testimony about a little over a year ago. She began to write it down. There's so much more to tell than she's going to tell. She'll have to come back for part two. But this morning, you're going to get a real feel for the power of God in the life of a person. You know what? God is amazing. He is able to save. And you are going to really enjoy her testimony. But before she comes, I want to pray for her. And come here, Liesl. And she's nervous, but I told her everyone in this room loves her and is so excited at what God is doing in her life and anxiously wants to hear her story. Each of us has a story, and hers is a very, very special one. So let's pray together before we begin. Our Father, thank you for the beauty of the season. Thank you for the beauty of the power of Jesus to transform our lives. Jesus, thank you that you enter into us and you transform us from the inside out. And what you do is truly beautiful and it's truly amazing. It's something that only you have the power to do. And so I pray for my friend Liesl, my sister in Christ, that you would calm her, that you would give her strength and power and help her not to be nervous as she gives glory to you this morning for all that you've done in and through her life. And we pray these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give her a warm welcome.
For those of you that don't know, I'm adopted. Both of my biological parents were drug addicts. One day, my sister's dad and his brother showed up to our house uninvited, and my dad shot and killed both of them. He didn't do any jail time because it was listed as self-defense. My sister and I were put into protective custody due to the fact that my sister's dad was the leader of a motorcycle gang, and they were worried about retaliation. We went into the foster care system with new names and bounced from house to house. None of them could handle us. My sister was scared of everyone and everything, and I would attack anyone within reach. I was labeled as damaged and unadoptable. I was 3 years old and still hadn't spoken a single word. The parents that were to become my forever family already had two boys and wanted to adopt two girls. When they saw us at the orphanage, they inquired, and the orphanage stated that my sister was up for adoption, but I was unadoptable. My future mom was not taking no for an answer. She said that you cannot call a child of only three as unadoptable. She fought for me and she succeeded. I gave them hell pretty much my whole life. I was in and out of mental hospitals, expelled from every school in the county, but they never gave up on me. I got locked up when I was 12 and escaped multiple times. When I was 17, I escaped, and when I encountered a police officer, I kicked him in the face, breaking his nose. I was tried as an adult in Texas and was sent to maximum security prison. I don't know if y'all know anything about prison, but it's horrible, especially for a 17-year-old. About a month in, I escaped. I didn't get very far and was caught, and they added another year to my sentence. I spent the last 2 years of my sentence in administrative segregation. You spend 23 and a half hours a day in a cell. You're only out for 30 minutes a day to shower and for 15 minutes of rec. I was released when I was 20. I went back to California where the drugs and jail stints continued. I got married to an abusive drug dealer. I overdosed on heroin multiple times and almost died. I started cutting myself because I wanted to feel something, anything other than what I was feeling. Again, I almost died when I severed my radial artery. It took months to relearn how to use my arm. I didn't believe in God because I felt if there was a God, surely he wouldn't let such horrible things happen to someone like me. The drugs continued. One day I was coming down off of heroin and needed money. I rode my moped into town and slammed into a tree at 40 miles an hour. I shattered the bones in my arm, broke my collarbone, fractured my L4, fractured my kneecap, and ruptured my ACL. They put metal plates and screws in my arm, and I left the hospital against medical advice so I could get high. My dealer gave me a bag that was unknowingly tainted with bacteria, and I injected it. I didn't understand why I still felt so bad, so I did another shot, which landed me back in the hospital with blood poisoning. I was septic. I got better, but I continued using drugs. A year or two later, when my husband was in jail, a friend, quote-unquote friend of his, knew that I was home alone and came and robbed me at gunpoint of all the drugs and money that we had. I went and busted out all his windows, and he had me arrested. Little did I know that he was a snitch for the police department. I got out on bail and was trying to do right. My husband got out of jail and a few days later was stripping a stolen van in broad daylight in our driveway. I had finally had enough. I called my mom and begged her to get me and my dog Muggsy a ticket home to Louisiana. She didn't hesitate and I finally left it all behind. I was put on Suboxone, which is like methadone for withdrawals. I fought to divorce my ex, which took forever. I was sober and I was lonely. So I did what sober, lonely people do, and I joined a dating site, farmersonly.com, which is where I met my current husband. We were both hooked from the first date. We got married only months later. Going from being married to an abusive drug dealer to being married to someone who works for Department of Homeland Security was a bit of shock, to say the least. I found out I was pregnant at 12 weeks and was still on Suboxone. I asked my doctor if it was safe to take the drug during pregnancy, and they told me there had not been enough studies done to know. So I quit cold turkey and went through the worst withdrawals of my life. But it was worth it to know that my son would not continue the drug cycle of my biological family. We decided we needed a bigger house with the new addition to our family, so we went house hunting. We must have looked at 20 houses between Louisiana and Mississippi and were starting to get discouraged. Then we found Brookhaven. The minute I pulled up in the driveway, I knew that it was the house. With my husband working, I was looking for friends, so I joined a mom's group and met none other than Jess Kleeman. Took her a year to respond, just saying. She invited our family to dinner and then to church and me to Bible study. I was hesitant but went anyway and loved every minute of it. Everyone was so welcoming. When I showed up to Bible study, it was during COVID, so we were having it at Brittany Stones' house, and Kleeman didn't even show up the first time I went. I felt awkward and out of place, and of all things, they were in the middle of studying Revelations. But I stuck with it. I did the homework and I kept going back. At first it all seemed like a made up story, but for some reason something deep within me just clicked. I had to be willing to know and follow Jesus in order to know that there is a God. All the things that I went through made me realize what life is like without God. And now that I know him and I've given my life to him, I finally have peace and happiness. That's it.
Story. Truly amazing. So I would just add to that story. Yes, we were in part 3 of the book of Revelation. And Liesl, I don't think I'm wrong if I say you had never studied the Bible. You had never had a Bible. So she walks into this group. She knows no one in the group. Jess doesn't show up because Jess has found out she's pregnant and she's sick as a dog and couldn't make it that morning. Brittany's not, who is this lady coming to my door?
I was saying her name wrong.
Jess
told me her name was Leslie.
Yes, Jess said her name was Leslie, not Liesl. So when Liesl walked in, it wasn't Leslie. So anyway, but it's the sweetest story. Because Jess also had never had a Bible or studied. And there was Jess in weeks later giving Liesl a Bible and showing her how to find a book of the Bible. I just love God. I love how He changes lives. It's just amazing, Liesl. Thank you. Now, I want you to keep working on your testimony because there's so many stories that you didn't hear this morning. So this is just a start for her as she gets boldness to share what God has done, because it's just truly an amazing testimony. Well, this has been a great time together. Let's close in a word of prayer this morning. Our Father, thank you for the blessings of life. I thank you for sparing Liesl's life. So many times, God, she was so close to death. I'm just so thankful you spared her life. And now you've given her to be a part of our body here in Brookhaven. We ask your blessing on her. We ask your blessing on Tom. We thank you, Father, for the joy of serving the Lord together here as the body of Christ at First Baptist. And we would pray, Father, that you would knit our hearts together in love, that we would walk in unity, that we would serve you with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and that you would make our testimony in our church to be one that is powerful. I pray that you would teach us how to love one another even more, because that love is so irresistible. And through that love, you'll be drawing many into our body, and you'll be transforming lives. So this morning, we give you all praise and all glory and all honor for all that you've done in our lives personally, in our families, in our church family. We just ask your blessing now on the rest of this year. And Father, as we welcome the new year, may it be a year where you are truly glorified in all of our lives. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.